is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Franchise tag deadline is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. Adrian Peterson is a free agent. Kirk Cousins, will he be on the 49ers? And Antonio Brown, the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. We're actually going to look at your wide receiver rankings. Top three is pretty interesting. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Where do you guys think Kirk Cousins will be playing quarterback? We have a report today that kind of wants to be on the 49ers. Where do you think he'll be in 2017?
Kirk Cousins will be a Washington Redskin.
Good, because I wouldn't even want to draft him if he were on the 49ers. Take that.
I wouldn't either. It would be a completely different and horrific situation. He'd go from a team with a good offensive line and good weapons to a team with a below-average offensive line and maybe the worst receiving core in the NFL right now.
The Redskins could have a pretty bad receiving core, though, right now, too.
Well, but they'll have Jordan Reed.
You're saying Vance McDonald is not better than Jordan Reed?
I think Jordan Reed might be a little bit better when he's healthier. And we don't know what Josh Doctson will do, and maybe Pierre Garçon could stay as well. Depends on what he fetches on the free agent market. I think Kirk Cousins would be most comfortable in Washington.
Okay, well, we're going to probably skip over Kirk Cousins today. We'll do another podcast later in the week. That'll be after the franchise tag deadline. We'll know a little bit more. Jamie just wrote something about Adrian Peterson. It's up on the website at cbssports.com/fantasy. Is there really anything to say about Peterson that we didn't talk about last week? You know, we talked about potential landing spots for him. We knew he wasn't going to be in Minnesota. We're actually going to do the NFC North wish list. Jamie, was there another angle that you want to present on Adrian Peterson?
No, I mean, it's just the news. There's nothing new right now. So, I mean, we can't tell you he's going to be in a good situation until we know where he lands. So, he'll be 32 in March. He's, you know, coming off a down season where he was limited to three games. And, you know, like we said, the teams that are going to be looking at him and the teams that he wants to play for, the Giants, the Bucks, and the Texans, we'll see if he ends up there. The teams that are going to be in need for a running back that are of significance would be the Raiders and the Packers. We'll see if he ends up there. I wouldn't rule out a surprise team, clearly, because that tends to happen. You know, I mean,
there's an NFL Network report that suggests Jerry Jones is willing to sign Adrian Peterson, even though he's got Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, that'd be a nightmare.
Well, yes, in theory that would be terrible, but if Adrian Peterson is truly over the hill, so to speak, then it would just be a matter of time before he wouldn't even play that much and Ezekiel Elliott would do his thing again.
Well, while we're speculating on where players might end up, let's read our email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Email of the day is from Tony in Northwest Indiana, and he said, this is what we should all be wishing for. Can you imagine Jay Cutler on the Texans forcing it to DeAndre Hopkins like he used to force it to Alshon? Hopkins would be a top five wide receiver for sure. What do you think, Jay Cutler to the Houston Texans?
I think any quarterback is an upgrade for DeAndre Hopkins, and Cutler would certainly qualify. I don't know if the Texans want to sink that much money into the quarterback position when they're already paying Brock Osweiler megabucks for 2017. So it's fun to think about, but A, Cutler's probably still going to command a decent salary, and B, he's probably going to get hurt again. It's kind of been what he does. He takes a lot of money and then he gets hurt. It kind of sucks for fantasy owners.
Now, let's say you're Rick Smith. You are the Texans GM.
If I'm Rick Smith and I'm the Texans GM, I'm thanking God I still have a job. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think Jay Cutler or Tony Romo was a better option?
That's interesting. I think I'd say Romo.
You're saying Romo on the market or Romo via trade?
Well, he's probably going to get released according to the latest report. So I'll just
say. Right. So if you're just talking about signing both guys and the money's somewhat equal, you take Romo. But if the money becomes a factor, you'd take Cutler. And you see what's left with him, and then you blow it up in a year.
When
Osweiler comes off the book.
I bring donuts to Bob McNair's office every day.
What kind of donuts?
I mean, the finest independent donut retailer in all of Houston.
Did I tell
Someone
you
can let
about,
me know what that is.
Did I tell you about the Nutella donut that I had? I think I did. It was so disappointing. it had such promise.
Is Nutella kind of overrated a little? No, I feel like everybody makes such a big deal about Nutella.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, but you had it in a donut and you were disappointed.
Because there wasn't enough. You got to like go all in. You can't just have a little bit of Nutella. Anyway, let's talk about your rankings, because you know we've mentioned how challenging the top three running backs are in the rankings and how that could change so much. I think the top three wide receivers is equally as compelling or close to it. And with the Steelers signing Antonio Brown to a 5-year contract extension, he's now the highest paid wide receiver in the league. I want to look at your top three. You know, Heath actually has Julio Jones as his number one wide receiver in standard scoring leagues. You guys have Antonio Brown, and PPR, by the way, for Heath. You guys have Antonio Brown 1. Jamie has Beckham 2 in standard. Dave has Julio 2. And you both have Julio Jones 2 in PPR. But what did you guys see from Antonio Brown last year? Why do you think his production was down? His yards per catch was down about 1 to 1.5 yards over his previous three seasons. The total yards, the targets, pretty much everything except the touchdowns were down for Antonio Brown. He had 4 100-yard games in 15 games. He had 9 the previous year and 8 in 2014. So, obviously, if I had asked Heath this, he would say, no, Julio's number one. Is Antonio Brown a slam dunk number one for you guys at wide receiver, or was it a tough call?
I don't know if slam dunk, but I don't know if it was a tough call either. I mean, I just think you look at what his body of work has been and the offense that he plays in, comparing him to the other two or three or four guys, you know, whoever you want to consider at the top of the list. I think it's, for the most part, the industry consensus is going to be Brown, Jones, Beckham in some order. Maybe Mike Evans creeps into there because of his age and what we saw from him last year. But I think the reason for his down numbers last year is probably twofold. One, the Roethlisberger injury, you know, knocking him out for the 2 games over 4 weeks. Hurt a little bit, but I think what we saw is when Le'Veon Bell is healthy and dominating this offense, which he was 2 years ago, those are kind of the numbers where Brown's going to put up. He's not going to put up the numbers that he put in 2015 when Bell was limited to, 6 games because of the suspension and the injury?
Yeah, but Antonio Brown was a lot better in 2014 than he was in 2016.
I think those are the numbers you're looking for. You're not looking for the 2015 Antonio Brown. You're looking for the 2014 Antonio Brown.
But so you think he can be a little bit better? And he only played 15 games. They sat out week 17. But he played 16 in 2014, had 129 catches, 1,700 yards, and 13 touchdowns. That went down to 106 catches, just under 1,300 yards, and 12 touchdowns last year. But, you know, Jamie, another interesting thing, and kind of what you were saying, first 3 games of the season, Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown had 2 100-yard games. In fact, I think he had over 120 yards in 2 games. It doesn't matter. He had two big games out of 3.
Right.
And he only had 4 all year. So, yeah, I don't know. Just want to bring that up.
Well, I mean, in the 4 games after that, when Le'Veon was back, 3 of them were pretty good for Antonio Brown. They weren't monsters. There were only 2 games this year where both he and Le'Veon. Is 15 points a monster game, guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
Then there were 4 games this year where Le'Veon and Antonio had monster games at the same time. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there was no one else in Pittsburgh who was a great receiving threat.
Except for Bell.
Defenses kind of had it a little bit easier than it was 2 years ago when Martavis Bryant was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the Steelers go and add another receiver somewhere, or if they keep Martavis Bryant, then that'll make things even easier for Antonio Brown. Well, if he's a headache for them, they'll let him go.
No, they won't.
I don't think so either, but we're not there.
They're not letting him go.
I sure as heck hope they don't let him go. I hope he comes and remains a Steeler, and he brings donuts every day.
It's going to come back to that. So how did you guys try to decipher between Julio Jones and Odell Beckham? Again, with Jamie going Beckham 2, Julio 3 in standard, both of you going Julio 2, Beckham 3 in PPR. What was the difference there?
I ranked the receiver with the declining quarterback behind the receiver with the MVP quarterback.
Yeah, I went with the guy that scores touchdowns over the guy that just has a hard time finding the end zone and is getting more weapons around him versus Beckham, who's losing weapons around him.
Yep, it's one of the weirdest things. Julio Jones does not have more than 10 touchdowns in any season. He has 1 season with more than 8 touchdowns. He's not a
huge... He has 1 year with 10.
What's that?
In 1 year with 10.
Yeah, 1 year with 10, never more, and only 1 year with more than 8. And he had 5 fewer red zone targets than Brown, 8 fewer red zone targets than Beckham. All three of them had similar production inside the 10-yard line, but it's just weird. At this point, would you be surprised to see a 12-touchdown season from Julio Jones?
Yeah, because his body of work doesn't suggest that. And Austin Hooper is going to get better, and they still have Sanu, and they have to make a decision on Taylor Gabriel.
They do have those running backs.
And they have the running backs that are a factor in the red zone.
Right, so the Giants don't have that right now.
I just look at Beckham, who's entering a contract year. I think he's going to have one of his best years to date. And so, he's been pretty impressive his first 2 years. Last year was a step back, and I think if you let that factor into the equation a little bit, which I think some fantasy owners might after some of the mock drafts I've seen, I think Beckham will bounce back and have a huge year.
Who do you have ranked higher in PPR?
Julio Jones, because he catches more passes.
Right. That's why I did it.
Yeah, last year he didn't, actually. Last year Julio was on pace for 95 catches in 16 games. Beckham had 101 catches, but it's pretty even. And prior to that, yeah, Julio was more catches. Let's see. So these three guys, Brown is your number one wide receiver in standard and PPR.
And I'll just tell you, just because Heath and I did a video for our rankings page last week about the number one receiver, he just thinks Julio's a better player than the other two guys, which is kind of the consensus among players in the league. I think I told you this, Adam, that I spoke to at the Pro Bowl a bunch of different receivers and a bunch of different defensive backs, and the consensus was that Julio Jones is the best receiver in the NFL. Now, again, that's coming off of that dominant NFC Championship game that he had against the Seahawks. Right, Seahawks? No, Packers.
Right.
Packers.
Against Packers. And so that kind of, I think, plays into the equation a little bit. But you can make an argument that just based on his physical tools and the way that he plays, that Julio is the best. He just doesn't put up the most prominent stats.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way, certainly outside of the NFL. Like, I hear announcers say that. But it's almost like Antonio Brown, because he's not as big as Julio Jones, doesn't get the due, you know? He puts up better numbers almost every year.
Right. And even like when I asked Beckham the question, you know, he said there's just a group of us that are all just great. You know, and yeah. I think that's the fun thing about it is I think there's an elite eight of fantasy receivers this year with the three guys, Evans, Green, Jordy, Dez, and Hilton. And once you get past those eight guys, then I think there's a fall off. You can make arguments for a bunch of guys, but I think those eight have kind of solidified themselves going into the year as the best of the best.
Do you think the Florida Gators will make the Elite Eight?
Yes.
Oh. In basketball?
Yeah, they're good.
Are they?
Yeah.
I live in a college basketball bubble.
No, did you storm the court on Saturday, Dave? I know you were at the Miami Duke game.
I did.
You were on the court?
With my kids.
That's awesome. That's
great. There's a picture in my Twitter timeline.
Oh, your kids must have loved that.
My son, oh my, they were on camera on the scoreboard in the arena. It was a lot of fun. But enough about my family. I've got breaking news.
Oh, okay. Is it about donuts?
Kirk Cousins.
What's that? It's about Cousins?
He's been franchised. Oh. And the Redskins gave him the exclusive franchise tag, which means he cannot negotiate with other teams.
It's the same one Le'Veon Bell got to.
Right. So what that means essentially is if there is a trade to be made, Cousins, I don't know how much say he'll have in it. The Redskins can take offers, but they're really basically telling the rest of the league, back away, he's ours for 2017. And this is going to make you wish that you were Kirk Cousins for the first time in your life. He's guaranteed, once he signs that exclusive tender, $23.94 million. Dollars. Do you know how many donuts that could buy, by the way?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like a whole dump truck full of donuts.
When I hear players say that they like will not play on the franchise tag, Are you kidding me? If you were the 49ers, would you trade the number 2 overall pick in the draft for Kirk Cousins?
I would offer it.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. I would absolutely. I don't. If I'm Washington, I wouldn't take it.
Wow.
If I were the 49ers, I would offer it.
Okay. Yeah, it's one draft pick is fine. It's the two ones that are just ridiculous for him or Garoppolo or any of these guys.
And to me, it comes down to how desperate the 49ers are to have a relevant quarterback.
Well, I think it's pretty clear based on the reports we're hearing. Kyle Shanahan has interest in Cousins. Cousins has interest in playing for Shanahan and the 49ers. And so does San Francisco want to sit out a year if they have the opportunity to get him now?
Right.
Because if he plays as well, better, slightly worse in 2017 as he did in 2016, he's going to be very well sought after. Sure. And probably the most prominent free agent on the market given his position. So, you know, does San Francisco want to say the second overall pick this year is better than investing in a rookie?
Right.
And signing Cousins in 2017? Maybe you work out a 1 year deal with Kaepernick and keep him under wraps.
Are you guaranteed Kirk Cousins in 2018? You can make a run at him, but well, there'll be other teams.
If the money is there, because the interest, as of now, again, per reports, are there. He wants to play for Shanahan. Shanahan wants him. Mm-hmm. So again, if he doesn't, you know, fall on his face, there's a chance for him to be there.
But from the 49ers' point of view, I think the only way you can guarantee that you get him is to trade for him now, because there will definitely be other teams that will want Kirk Cousins next offseason. And I would assume that they would have the same amount of cap space as the 49ers would.
All right, so more news. Tom Coughlin not committing to Blake Bortles as the quarterback next year. Do you want, for Allen Robinson's sake, do you want Blake Bortles to be the quarterback, or do you want them to go in another direction?
Well, we have a 2-year sample size of 1 year great, 1 year terrible. So you can't really say he was the reason for his success and the reason for his failures. At least I don't think so. The thing I think that you point to, and it's again, very small sample size, is the 2 games that he played with Doug Marrone as the interim head coach, or 3 games with Doug Marrone as the interim head coach, because they did something different. They moved him around. They had the semblance of an improved offense. And so,
and Bortles was more comfortable, too.
Bortles was more comfortable. You know, again, our colleague Pete Prisco is tied into the Jaguars organization, and he watches the Jaguars you know, as much as anybody else in the industry and that covers the team. And he said the thing that his biggest takeaway was, it looked like he just was more relaxed,
mm-hmm.
and more calm and more not stressing, and that helped Bortles. And so I don't know why you would like, look at the guys that are out there. Is Jay Cutler better than Blake Bortles? No. Is Colin Kaepernick or RG3 or
no?
You know, I mean, I don't think they're getting Garoppolo, so I don't think they're getting Cousins.
I think they're tied to Bortles for another year. So we can have this conversation all we want. The reality is that Bortles is going to be there, and there seems to be something with Doug Marrone and Nate Hackett.
This is somebody else.
Yeah, but I hope what happened in those last 2 games can translate into 2017, and Bortles can throw a more catchable pass for Allen Robinson to grab.
You don't think Jay Cutler is better than Blake Bortles?
If they're in a quarterback skills challenge, Cutler will destroy it.
At this point, though, you're talking about Cutler getting older, you know, coming to a new team, getting familiar with new receivers. You know, is that a better situation than having Blake Bortles just stay there?
I mean, maybe for 1 year. I'm not saying if I'm the Jaguars, I'm investing in Jay Cutler. Obviously, it's not a move toward the future. But I think Bortles, even though he finishes like the number 8 quarterback in fantasy, was one of the worst quarterbacks in fantasy last year. I mean, the turnovers, the pick sixes, just ridiculous. It's a little bit of Jay Cutler in that. You know, they're kind of similar in that regard. But all right, well, whatever. Not really a fantasy discussion. Isaiah Crowell, looks like the Browns are trying to lock him up long term. Isaiah Crowell was the number 15 running back in standard, number 14 in PPR last year. He's 24 years old and averaged 4.8 yards per carry behind a bad offensive line. A little, I think, deceiving in you know, how he got the production. But my question for you, do you think Isaiah Crowell can become a fantasy stud?
No. I think he's one of the he's in the next group or the group after that, you know, depending on how you want to tier guys in terms of stud versus good versus okay. You know, he's a number 2 fantasy running back. He's a guy that you'll settle for on draft day, depending on what the Browns do with their offensive line and the rest of their offense. And he's a guy that I don't think is going to kill you over the course of a season, but, you know, week to week, he's not just going to be dynamic.
He could kill you. He can definitely have some spurts where he gives you 7, 5, 8-7
Right,
fantasy.
But so could there was, there, Spencer Ware and Latavius Murray and well, Bob Kelly and
sure.
Paul Perkins.
So
and
could
Abdullah.
Most of the running
right,
backs that are out
point,
there.
That's the point, is he's just in that group of guys that, you know, when he's good, he could be great, as we saw. When he's bad, I don't think he's going to be 1 point, 2 point. I mean, there are going to be guys that put up 5 points, 6 points, 7 points. You know, you just don't hope that it's
happens
a 7 to 10 game stretch.
You doesn't mean, happen to Le'Veon Bell
or Zeke Elliott. You know, you just hope it's not over a, you hope it's a, that's a 2 to 3 game stretch where you just don't get killed consistently. And then the week you bench him is the week he goes off.
I think you said it best, James. He's the number two fantasy running back. I think that there's a chance that his role grows because Duke Johnson just hasn't been that guy for Cleveland. And I know the Browns have been, they've been linked to a bunch of running backs in free agency and in the draft. I would suggest that tagging Isaiah Crowell with a second round tender is evidence that they value Crowell. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't draft a guy, if, for example, at 12 overall, if they keep that pick. It doesn't mean that they won't consider Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette if one or both make it that far. But I think they're going to be okay going into the year with Crowell as their lead back. Who?
Both will be there at 12.
I've seen I agree with you, but there are dumb drafts that I've seen mocks where they're both gone by 12 because a lot of people just see them as elite caliber players and they'll subscribe to the best player available theory. We're getting off topic. The bottom line is that Crowell could get a bigger piece of the pie, and that would mean more numbers, and can't help but think that the Browns offensive line will get better between free agency and the draft, and they'll have a better quarterback situation, theoretically. Maybe Isaiah Crowell is ranked a little low as a guy in my 20s in my running back rankings. Maybe he should be a little bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a long way from having a good offensive line in Cleveland, but they have a ton of money, obviously draft picks to spend, so maybe they could invest in it and turn it around fairly quickly, hopefully. So, yeah, we have more news and notes. I want to get to the NFC North wish list. We will have another podcast later this week. I got a couple of emails I want to read at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Yeah, it's a good time to get your emails in. Should be able to read most of them. And most of them are going to be keeper questions and whatever. Not my favorite, but I'll do it for you, people. The Jaguars reportedly were displeased with Julius Thomas and his blocking, according to the Florida Times Union. Do you think that has any impact on the Dolphins? Is that bad for Jay Ajayi?
No, I think Gase will have a much better understanding of how to use Julius Thomas in the offense. And I don't think they're picking him up for his blocking prowess.
I mean, Gase knows him. The only reason this trade is happening is because Gase has a familiarity with Julius Thomas. It's not like he looked at it and said, I have to have Julius Thomas. That's the key to our offense.
I think we spent enough time on Julius Thomas last couple of podcasts. Rob Gronkowski says he's going to be ready for the start of the season. He underwent his third back surgery last year, as we know. Pittsburgh franchise Le'Veon Bell. Adrian Peterson was his $18 million option was declined, so he's a free agent. We talked about that. Alshon Jeffrey seems unlikely to return to Chicago. Where do you guys want to see Alshon Jeffrey go? Your favorite Alshon Jeffrey realistic landing spot.
We'll see, you threw in realistic. It would have been fun to say, you know, something like Indianapolis or New England or New Orleans.
Is that what you would want, though? Like, okay, fine. Unrealistic and realistic.
All right, so one of those teams for unrealistic. And then realistic, I think Philadelphia, he could get peppered with quality targets. And that's really all I'm looking for. I want him to be in a spot where he's going to get 150 targets over the course of the season and have a chance to get over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Okay. Philadelphia, let's just say
Philadelphia
that.
Is my pick. And I don't think he would be as good in L.A. or Tennessee. Tennessee apparently is going to step up and sign a receiver in free agency.
Why would Tennessee be good?
Because I think that they're a team that's still focused on running the ball. And I don't think the targets will be there for Alshon like they would be in Philadelphia.
I don't think it's horrible, though.
It's better than L.A. I would rank it Philadelphia, Tennessee, L.A., and then a lot of space, and then San Francisco. I also, just for the unrealistic, Mark Trestman is now the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts. Union between Alshon Jeffrey and Trestman in Toronto would probably also yield some really good numbers for Alshon.
That would be pretty nice for sure.
The 12-on-12 CFL.
Now, we only have a few more news items, then we'll talk about the NFC North. The Jets, you may have seen, they have released three offensive linemen. Ryan Clady, Brino Giacomini, and Nick Mangold. None of them played more than 9 games last season, so it's not really big news, and they stink anyway. And Adidas, if you, I don't know if either of you could pull this off, but if any NFL Combine participant wears a particular Adidas cleats, and runs the 40 in a record time, which is better than the 4.24 seconds that Chris Johnson ran the 40 in, Adidas is offering to buy that player an island, or give them $1 million. What would you guys do? What the hell would I do with an island?
Well, you never leave your house, so.
I know. This is basically an island to me. What would you do with an island? Who wants an island?
I mean, it would be a serious upgrade for you to leave your little shanty in upstate New York for a cozy island.
Yeah.
I would assume it would be in the tropics and the weather would be great and you'd be able to, you know, swim and suntan and catch fish and play your Nintendo. I think you would have fun. I see you wearing a grass skirt and a coconut bra playing Nintendo with your cat, who also has a matching grass skirt and coconut bra on the beach.
Do you guys have any honeymoon recommendations?
I went to Hawaii. It was amazing.
I went to Cozumel. I wish I had gone to Hawaii.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to Hawaii. But you know what I'm really excited for? Is my Blue Apron tonight. Going to be making some delicious chicken with sesame marinated carrots and garlic rice. It's going to be awesome. 3 meals a week for less than $60 total. That's 3 meals for 2. So you're talking about less than $10 per person per meal. And if you want 3 free meals, I don't understand why anybody in the world would not want 3 free meals. Go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. That's 3 meals free with free shipping at blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. I am now coming up on, I don't know, at least 8 months, I'd say. Maybe more like 10 of using Blue Apron. And it's delicious. I mean, I get variety. I get meals that I've never had before, never really would have. Pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple. Like, when are you going to have something like that? You're not going to go shopping and buy that stuff. They make it so easy. The recipe cards are a piece of cake. They give you exactly what you need, pre-portioned ingredients. They've got salmon. They've got pork. They've got shrimp. They've got pasta. They've got chicken. They've got beef. They've got lamb. They've got everything. Go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. It's affordable. It's flexible. And it ships right to your door. Just give it a shot. You will not regret it. Now,
Adam,
let's talk.
If you had an island, would Blue Apron like send the meals via helicopter? And then some guy would chuck it out the helicopter and a parachute would open up. It would be a blue parachute and it would float down to you on the island and you'd have your Blue Apron on the island.
I would enjoy that very much.
Yeah. I think that's how I see this playing out with Adam Island.
And I never told you that I got, I think I told you I was going to get this, but I bought the Lionel Richie, "Hello, is it me you're cooking for?" cutting board.
Right. Oh, we had a whole discussion about that.
But I got it. Like, it was purchased. I gave it to her, and now we like it exists.
She's still gonna marry you?
She loved it. But
I want to see it.
I'll show it to you. It's so tiny that it's like I opened it and I was like, "What? It's this small? I could barely put any food." It looks like something you'd serve cheese on. So it was a little disappointing in that regard.
Oh, so the Lionel Richie cutting board was a ripoff purchase?
Kind of, just because it was so small. Like, it would, if it said, "Hello, is it me? Is it cheese you're cooking for?" then maybe it would have been more accurate. All right.
I can't believe I laughed at that.
And thank you. NFC North wish list. The Bears. Hey, very appropriate. Let's get them a quarterback and a number one wide receiver. That cannot be good for their offense. Like, I'm just going to detour here. No Alshon Jeffrey, maybe no Jay Cutler. Is Jordan Howard doomed next year?
He wasn't doomed last year when he had bad quarterback play and Alshon Jeffrey was missing or stinking. Alshon Jeffrey's two best games, I have it in front of me. One of them, our guy Jordan Howard had 17 fantasy points when Alshon had 14. And then Alshon had 12 points in a game and Jordan Howard had 25 in that game. So I guess you could say that with or without Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard was great. I would imagine that the Bears They need a whole upgrade in the passing game. New quarterback, new outside receivers. I think they're good with Cameron Meredith. It's going to take a long time for them to fulfill the wish list.
Well, they're going to be in the Jimmy Garoppolo discussion heading into the draft. So that could
start. Are they giving up 3 overall for Garoppolo?
I don't know.
Would you?
If I feel like he's the guy, if my staff says he's better than anybody else in the draft, mm-hmm. and we can sign him, there's the college tie there, I believe, to their general manager.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're sold, then yes.
Okay. Let's go over to the Detroit Lions. Keep Ameer Abdullah on the field for 16 games. And I would add, feature Ameer Abdullah. Like, let the guy explore Ameer Abdullah. Let the guy be himself out there and dominate.
Well, it sounds nice.
Thank you.
I think the Lions have found their groove using 2 running backs. And I think as they stand right now, Abdullah and Riddick is their combo with a little bit of Zach Zenner mixed in there. I guess that means it's not a 2 running back group anymore. It's a 3 running back.
That's not featuring.
I don't think anybody's featured.
No, but that's what he's wishing for.
Yeah,
Could they be a team that signs Adrian Peterson?
Sure.
I think they might be dumb enough to sign Adrian Peterson.
Give me 15 Ameer Abdullah touches per game. Is that too much to ask for?
No, that would certainly increase his value dramatically. If it's consistent.
11 carries, 4 catches per game. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility, although I wonder if he could really get to 4 catches per game if he's splitting time with Riddick.
Would you guys prefer Ameer Abdullah or Isaiah Crowell right now?
Crowell.
Cool.
All right.
Well, just to put that in perspective, you said 11 and 4?
Yeah.
Zenner did that once, and that was with Riddick being banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go 12 and 3. I'm fine with that. Green Bay and Minnesota, same wish list item, a starting running back. Both these teams need a starting running back. And the one who goes to Green Bay is probably going to be, well, it's definitely going to be in a better situation, but probably going to be higher up in your rankings. Being a starting running back for the Packers is certainly more enticing than being a starting running back for the Vikings. But what do you guys want to touch on here?
It's sounding more and more like a reunion with Eddie Lacy is going to happen.
Oh.
Awesome.
But, you know, we say that. If we were drafting Eddie Lacy in round 7 or round 8, I mean, I know we haven't seen that happen in the mock drafts that we've done, but is that an awful thing?
No.
If he's
it's
healthy,
a much better value, if he's healthy. And he's got a lot of potential. I think the concern that I would have is getting suckered into taking him earlier than then, like round 3.
I think the suckering is going to come with Ty Montgomery more so than Eddie Lacy, if that's the case, if it's Montgomery and Lacy, because Montgomery's not going to change what he was. He's going to be their passing downs guy. He's going to be a niche player. He's not going to be.
He's not going to work the goal line very often.
So I think that's where people are going to get suckered in.
Well, they said, you know, toward the end of the year, they acknowledged Ty Montgomery's a running back. But you don't think Ty Montgomery could be a, you know.
He's not going to be a featured guy.
I know he's not going to be a featured guy, but could he get 10 carries a game, or is that too much?
I think 10 touches a game is realistic.
Okay. All right. Yeah, look, I mean, Lacy, if they bring that back Lacy, it'd be nice if they give him like a 1-year deal and he has to prove something. And
oh, that's all it would be. Maybe 2 at the most with a player or a team option in the second year.
Right.
Yeah, and a nutritionist.
He wasn't that bad last year. He really wasn't. Just didn't score.
Oh, yeah. Other than that.
But well, he's averaged 5 yards per carry.
Everybody ran the ball well in Green Bay.
Not James Stark. I might have been able to
average 2 yards per carry in Green Bay. Me.
But what did James Starks average?
A lot.
He did?
Yeah, he was over 4 yards a carry.
All right, let's look it up.
Look it up.
Dave, he was terrible. He averaged 2.3 yards per carry.
I told you, 2.3 yards per carry. Everybody did well in Green Bay except for James Starks. Exactly. And we've known for a long time that James Starks is terrible.
All right, we're a little pressed for time today because Jamie and I, where are you, Dave? We have to hop off and do a fantasy baseball mock draft.
I mean, I can finish this by myself if you want.
You could just answer these keeper questions. One's from Dennis in Seattle. Hey, Tito, Marlin, and Jackie. Anybody? Who are they?
Say it again?
Tito, oh, they got to be the Jacksons, right? Tito, Marlin, and Jackie?
Did you say, yeah.
Jackie's not a
Jackie. Jackie Jackson?
That's not one of the Jackson Five.
Is that maybe what they
call? There's a Tito Jackson, and then there was a former football player named Marlin Jackson.
I think Jackie, all right, I don't know. 14-team keeper auction league. We get to keep up to 5 players with a $5 increase in value year over year.
Oh, there was a Jackie Jackson.
Yeah, there was. The total budget is $200, so he gets to keep up to 5 out of a $200 budget. So he's going to keep David Johnson for 10, DeAndre Hopkins for 21, and Jordy Nelson for 18. Now, Dennis wants to keep Derrick Henry for $12 and Kenneth Dixon for $5. Do you prefer anyone else instead of Henry for 12 or Dixon for 5? Dez Bryant for 50. CJ Procise for 5. Deion Lewis for 10. Tom Brady or Travis Kelce for 15.
So it's Henry for 12 or Kelce for 15?
Or Kenneth Dixon for 5 as well.
I'm definitely keeping Kelce over Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I feel like 12 is a little too much for
Derrick. Well, given that David Johnson's 10.
All right.
It is. Yeah. I just
Why is he keeping DeAndre Hopkins for 21?
Out of 200, that's good value.
What do you think he goes for? If he sets him back? I think it... Well, we don't know. 22, 24? Look, you can't keep Dez for 50. That's too much.
Wait, let me ask you this. This is what I always, kind of struggle with keepers, right? Like, Derrick Henry for 12 is not anything special. It's fine this year at 12 out of 200. And it's a $5 increase every year. There's a chance that Derrick Henry for 17 next year is very good value.
Sure.
So would you rather keep Derrick Henry for 12 this year or Kenneth Dixon for 5, who seems to have, as of right now, seems to have less long-term upside in a keeper league?
I don't know if that's accurate.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know if we can say that for sure, but I don't know if Dixon's going to have that job on lock. We think Derrick Henry in 2 years will.
From your perspective,
he could flame out this year and they bring in two new guys next year.
They could. Or he could take advantage of DeMarco Murray getting hurt and he runs away with it. And he's got
a lot of wear and tear from college.
Right, but he had the year last year where he didn't have a lot of wear and tear.
What's your answer? Henry for 12 or Dixon for 5?
If it's between those two,
I'm keeping Dixon for 5.
You could talk me into Henry for 12.
I'd actually throw back Henry and take Kelce or Brady at 15.
All right, we got more keeper questions to get to. We'll get to them probably on Thursday in our next podcast. It's Fantasy Football at CBSi.com. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We're cutting today's show a little bit short. Sorry about that. But we got to all the pertinent news, and there should be more on Thursday. Have a good one. Talk to you then. Peace out.
Bye. What an outro.